Welcome to the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast. I'm Chad Edgington.
And I'm Melissa Edgington.
Always a pleasure to be with you. We're coming back for another podcast. This is our pre-children's camp podcast, post-vacation podcast.
Sandwiched right between.
Yeah, just a little podcast to let you know what's going on in our lives as we're about to embark on that wonderful midsummer tradition of children's camp.
Yes.
Are you excited about going?
I feel about children's camp the way I feel about VBS. I love it. I look forward to it all year. And I'm really happy when it's over.
Yeah. I was going to say, I look forward to it like I look forward to having my teeth clean. You know. I love thinking about it. I love it when it's over. And in the middle, there's just a lot of gagging.
It must be a lot worse staying with boys than staying with girls. Girls are pretty clean.
I've seen some nasty stuff in the church camp cabins in my life. Mostly as a camper, but even as a sponsor, you know, you're just like, how did that wind up in the toilet? You know, things like that. That's not where your socks go, you know.
So we have done a lot of Baptist camping.
Yeah, we
in
have.
Our lives.
We have. Separately. We've been troopers. Well, even together we've done a lot of Baptist camping. You know, so it's just one of those things. For those of you that are not Baptist, we sort of organize ourselves in associations, and then several associations, which would be like maybe 40 or 50 churches. In an association, maybe 100 or so churches will come together and have a camp. And so there's different encampments in different regions, and some associations or even some churches have their own camps. So there are tons of camps all over the place. And then there's like some major camps, like Glorietta.
I don't go to the major camps.
You've never been to Ridgecrest.
I've been to Ridgecrest, but it wasn't for camp. But Ridgecrest is awesome.
Yeah.
Nibble Nook.
The Nibble Nook up on Rocking Chair Ridge. Remember that?
Yeah.
Rocking Chair Ridge and the Nibble Nook.
I love the Nibble Nook.
Yeah. That was nice. I don't remember where that was, what state that was in. If it was North Carolina or South Carolina.
It's one of the Carolinas.
It's a Carolina. Those two run together for me.
It's so hard for me to remember. Like, Charleston.
I don't know.
It's in South Carolina.
Whatever you say.
But it's not in Charleston. But I'm always trying to remember where Charleston is.
Why? Yeah.
I don't know.
The Dakotas and the Carolinas, they run together for me. And there's just no reason that I've ever really found to just nail those down. So
I know.
But Ridgecrest was great. Wherever that is, we
I
loved
think it's
it.
North Carolina?
Yeah, I think it was North Carolina.
Gosh,
man.
It's beautiful. It's so pretty.
Loved it. So we put the RNC on pause and decided to come in here after Donald Jr.'s speech. I just decided to do a podcast and asked Melissa if she wanted to, you know, do the podcast now. I guess you decided to do the podcast, but I said, let's go do it now.
Were you inspired by Donald
Jr.? I was inspired by Donald Jr.'s speech and my desire to maybe get to bed before 11 tonight. That was what was going on. So I was thinking when I was watching all the speeches, I'm so tired of this, and I'm physically tired. And that's not any way you want to go into church camp. You know, you want to go
on a podcast.
Or a podcast. Yeah. I'm trying to be high energy, you know. Donald Jr. used his hands a lot, like his dad. You can use your hands all you want on a podcast, and no one can see.
This has been the craziest election year. It's just about to wear me out.
Yeah.
Well, but it is fascinating to watch the conventions and watch all the speeches, and it's just a whole different world, you know.
Yeah, it is. And I was thinking, watching that convention, and thinking about, you know, church conventions and business meetings and things like that. And there seems to be a lot more dancing at the political conventions than at any other meetings for really important things. It's like, let's all stop and dance and wave signs. Like, that's going to convince people to vote for your team.
Yeah, and funny hats.
It's so
and
stupid.
Outfits.
I bet I bet if you went to, you know, we're Southern Baptist, that's our tribe, and I can imagine going to the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, I even had a report, someone went this year and told me what it was like and some of the annoying things that went on there. But can you imagine the annoying quotient, how high it is? Just probably people you run into every minute with all the buttons and the pins and the hats and the chicory and the coffee and all that stuff, right? I mean, that is... Can you imagine it?
It's like all of the most annoying Facebook memes come together.
Oh, I know. And they chant.
And yet it's fascinating
and
to watch.
They dance. And, you know, they're trying to put on a show to make you think that they're more than just a bunch of dorky people that had nothing better to do.
Hey, wait, you can't say that. Come on.
Listen, they spent their 2 weeks of it. You only get so much vacation time. And they're going to that?
Yeah, but I mean, there are legitimate people there. Come on.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's wonderful people there at that convention with their hats and their pins and they're dancing to the G.E. Smith band.
Hey, they care. They're
going to make America great again. That's what they're doing. And you know what? I want to applaud Donald Trump for being a fashion trendsetter because he made wearing suits and cheap hats, baseball caps. I mean, that's what seems to be the major fashion statement on the floor down there at the convention. Do you see? Is that Trump? It's like that every year. That's what they wear. No, they were always wearing like the little hats from the 20s, like those guys would wear, the straw hats.
Yeah.
That was the convention hat. Like if you wanted to be the guy that was cool.
Now it's a trucker hat.
Yeah, that's a trucker. Well, it's not even a trucker hat. It's like below a trucker hat in the cheap Chinese manufacturing realm. It's like when you're looking through the book of stuff you can get, like, well, let's get our church some hats. Let's see here. You can get this hat only costs 89 cents to manufacture. And let's do that one. That's the one Donald Trump got. Make America Great Again, 89 cents on the head. It's all over the convention floor.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
When they're only 89 cents, you can provide them.
You also go for that, yeah. But a trucker hat's even, you know, that's more expensive now.
Yeah. So yeah, because it's cool.
Yeah, it's like the guys that play golf that wear like the Australian Outback hats. I guess those were popularized by Greg Norman. Like you always tell like a serious golfer, he's not just wearing a cap.
Oh, he's wearing
the hat thing.
Like
he's going to go on a safari or something.
Oh, yeah. So back to church camp. I've got a question for you.
Why did you have to bring that up again?
Did you ever have a church camp girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I did, man.
Name one.
I don't want to. What if she listens to this? I don't want to say who she is. I want to embarrass her. Like being my church camp girlfriend, I can't think of very many things that would be worse than that on your love life resume. Her first name was Jessica. I'll tell you that.
You really had a church camp girlfriend?
Yeah, she was awesome. And
how many years of camp did you see her? Just one.
And so
it was a 3-day whirlwind romance.
That was like 4. And she was really sweet. And I thought she was a neat girl, fun to talk to. You know, the sort of exoticness of someone from another church.
Another
youth group.
And another youth group from the suburbs.
We would like go to their cabin and we're like, "Mom, our youth group is so cool. They've got like such unity." They're like so on fire for the Lord, man. And we're like not unified at all, guys. We need to go back and stand in the gap for our friends and burn our CDs and listen to more Michael W. Smith. That's what they're doing over there. So anyway, the great part of the story was, you know, then, of course, what happens with your church camp girlfriend is you drift apart.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Like the moment you get back on the bus. So, I mean, we may have written one another a letter or something like, "How are you doing?" You know, or something like that. You know, is your youth group still unified? Or I don't know. And then, of course, didn't see her again until the first day of college.
What?
Yeah, this is a good story. No. Yeah, it's true. So I walked into and I thought, so there's like, that's an embarrassing
moment.
Wait
a minute, stop. Wait, so what year of high school were you whenever you met her?
I don't know. Like, it was either... Like, right before, it was, I guess it was before my junior year.
Okay. So 2 years have passed, and you walk in for your first day of college.
And I'm like, we'll go into the cafeteria. And maybe I had spotted her, and I thought, oh, that's going to be weird, like, to sort of break the ice.
I can't believe you've recognized her.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Obviously, you didn't have very many girlfriends.
Come on. I had a lot of girlfriends.
A
lot of girls thought I was pretty weird. I still am. You know?
So you saw Jessica, and did you speak to her?
Yeah, so I thought, okay, this is going to be weird either way. So what I decided to do was just to make a scene.
Oh, good choice.
Let me tell you guys how to do this, okay? This is the art of the deal. This is the art of how you make an uncomfortable situation comfortable and fun. That's how I'd describe it if I was the Donald. But I'm just telling you from... This is truly... People take themselves way too seriously. And so what you need to do in a situation like that, if you ever find yourself in an awkward situation, is be the one that initiates the contact.
Okay.
Or the communication.
I'm learning so much right now.
So
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, so take notes on this. So I thought, this is going to be weird... because we probably said, let's write every week. And then we wrote like one time. It's, you know, a church camp girlfriend, which, you know, that is a very common thing. But at college, that's the kind of thing that'll get you made fun of, right?
Right.
You know, where you're trying to distance yourself from the youth group culture, even though you really never could.
Right.
Like, we're still going to church camp. We're still in it.
We're in it.
I burned a CD just to... Just a few days ago, I was like feeling convicted about my secular music. I've been standing in the gap for my friends too. So I just said, Jessica, and I said her last name. What are you doing here? And I just hollered it out across, you know, several tables. And she got this look of complete, a mixture of horror and disgust. Complete regret. And I had already told the guys that I was, you know, sitting around. I was just like, this, y'all aren't going to believe this, but that girl over there.
It was like it was a Grease moment.
I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with Grease.
You know, it was a summer love affair, and then she comes to his school.
Oh.
It was a Grease moment.
Okay. So, like, they were out.
And then he had to act all cool because he wasn't.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to act all cool. And the moment I thought, here's the deal. Don't play it cool. Don't ignore it. Just tell some guys what happened and then just call her name out and see if she's still interested. Which she wasn't. But no, so anyway, after that, you know, we talked and we was like, how's it going? Great to see you. And then we were friends all the rest of through college. So
happy ending.
Had a happy ending. So. You know, it's just one of those things.
Once she got over her horror.
Disgust. Complete regret.
I'm sure you were misreading her expression. It was probably just shock and surprise.
It was just, you know, like one of those times where a bad decision comes back and bites you in the rear end for her. That's okay.
That's a great story.
You know, so that could have been when we talked about embarrassing moments. That could have been an embarrassing moment, but I turned it into a moment just to embarrass her. I wasn't embarrassed at all because I took the make a scene route.
Right. I'm gonna remember that.
Yeah, make a scene. You don't know what to do, just make a big deal. You do something stupid, call attention to yourself, and then people are like, "Oh, he's so comfortable in his skin." I just love him. Nothing embarrasses him. Deep inside, you are a ball of humiliation.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
That's my philosophy of life. I'm one, you know, in that song I sing, My Way, regrets, I have a few. It's really true. I have a few million.
And so does Jessica.
Yeah, and I was one of them, a big one.
Yeah. Man.
But I've just, you know, I just think back through all the dumb things I've done, been a part of, said, thought, attitudes, It's a good thing as humans we can keep getting better.
I'm just glad they didn't have Facebook when we were younger. Oh, that would have been a disaster. My goodness.
What do they do whenever they have a boyfriend for a long time, then they break up with them? Do they have to go through and, like, take all that off their Facebook?
I don't know.
Do you do a full Facebook
purge? Is that what they do?
It would take forever.
Yeah.
Ooh. And some of these people, I look back, they've got Facebook since, you know, 2009.
Yeah.
I've deleted my Facebook altogether at least twice, because not because of my friends, but because I don't like me. Like, this is the sum of your life? These dumb things you typed in? I mean, I'm getting close to another one that'll just be a full Facebook delete. But what happened to Chad?
Gone.
Gandhi. Or maybe I can delete parts of... They need to have like a Facebook... like a Facebook delete system.
I have an idea of how you could do it. Because now they have this on this day feature. So every day you can go back and see every dumb thing you've said for the last 8 years. Then you can just call it out. Yeah.
No, you can delete it from right there?
Yeah, I'll just only leave the stuff that you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just pictures of the kids.
Basically.
Then they'll be all their regrets. Why was I wearing that? No, your mom was dressing you.
Well, I always think about how I tag you on Sawyer's face and all his pictures.
Oh, is that right?
You know, so people, friends will see your pictures. Yeah, and then someday, you know, when he has Facebook, then he's going to be like, why is my face tagged with Dad's name all over the internet?
And what makes you wonder, how long will Facebook last? Like, will it be there in 10 years?
I doubt it.
Will it be there in 20 years?
But now it's like a journal of your life.
I know.
I love going back and looking at that on this day thing.
See, and that's the difference between you and me, is that I loathe myself so much that if I saw how I had wasted the last 8 years of my life with shallow thinking and not enough reading and just pure stupidity, it just makes me not like myself. I'm glad that a big part of Christianity is killing yourself. Crucifying
you mean
yourself.
Killing your sin.
Killing your sin. But no, it's killing yourself.
Well, yeah.
You know,
dying to self.
Dying to self. You're a living sacrifice. I don't want to be like, oh, he's advocating suicide. I'm not doing that. All right? I'm just saying, don't have a camp girlfriend, okay? Don't make it so serious. You don't need a girlfriend at camp. It's 5 days, you know? Just hang out with your buddies. Go get a snow cone. You don't need a girlfriend. You know, you don't need a girlfriend, period, till you're in college. What a dumb thing to do that we make such a big deal out of it. You know what? I kiss dating goodbye. I'm kissing it goodbye right now. I do not like dating. I take back all of our dates.
You kissed dating goodbye about 10 years ago.
10 years ago? We've been married like 17?
Yeah.
But it's only been in the last 10 that I've decided I didn't want to go on dates with you?
Well, you know.
You know, I really do believe you should date your spouse, guys. I just want to tell you. Guys, listen to me. Listen to me right now. Listen to me. Listen. Listen. Look up here. Everybody. Hey, all eyes right here. Every eye in the room right here to me. Look at me. I want to say something true to you. Don't ever stop dating your wife. Don't ever do it. Guys, look at me.
No, we date when we can.
We do. And we take our kids with us. Taco Casa. Oh, brother. And then we're going to church camp. I will take you. I'll tell you what, honey. I'm going to take you to the snack shack at camp, and I'm going to get you any kind of snow cone you want.
I can't eat snow cones. That's not under healthy, mama.
Sugar-free. I will go buy some sugar-free snow cone syrup, and I will make you a sugar-free snow cone.
That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
I know. I have a way.
You're special. All right.
You can be my camp girlfriend. And I'll write you a letter when I get home.
All right.
Yeah, you'll be my camp girlfriend. That's my camp girlfriend, Melissa. So what do you love about church camp, children's church camp, at Camp Chaparral? What's your favorite thing?
About that particular camp?
Come on, you know what it is.
Or about camp in general?
About that camp.
Laser tag,
man. That's like the one time you get to really play as much laser tag as you want.
It is so fun.
I love me some Camp Chaparral laser tag.
Laser tag is so expensive when you go to those little you know, entertainment complexes and
try to
play laser
tag. They have the same equipment at Chaparral as at, you know, the Plex or whatever you would go to. And it's really, you know, maybe the actual playing room is not, is you know, it's not as big and it doesn't have multiple levels, which is, you know, something they could work on. But for free laser tag?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's so fun.
And they have frisbee golf. And remember what happened last year when we played frisbee golf?
You fell into a ditch.
Yeah, it's one of those deals. For all of you younger men listening, when you keep your body in the absolute worst shape you could keep it in on a regular basis.
That's not true.
Well, I mean, it's pretty true.
What's you're really self-deprecating tonight.
This is who I am, guys.
This is, I can tell that you actually just need to go to bed. You need a nap.
I've been taking naps all day. That's the problem. So when you keep yourself in, like, I was trying to watch that convention, and Mitch McConnell, dadgummit, he put me into a coma. It's a good thing I don't work in the Senate, and I should never run.
The kids were making fun of the way you were sleeping. They thought it was very entertaining.
Well, good they didn't see me fall in that ditch.
That was hilarious.
But that was a hot day, wasn't it?
So hot.
Oh, man. Oh, but we did pretty good on, we were getting pretty good throws on the disc golf. We went out, we were playing by ourselves, weren't we?
Yeah. And, it was a date.
We went on a
It was a children's camp date.
We went on a children's camp
frisbee
date.
Frisbee golf.
We had a few minutes where we snuck away.
It was 112 degrees. Oh, and I was wearing jeans. I remember that.
So, you know, your body, when you turn 40, it doesn't work like it did when it was 20. And they always tell you that's going to happen, and you don't believe them. You're like the one guy who thinks he can never work out and still just run down into a ditch. And so what I realized is that my brain was taking my body down the ditch faster than my legs were going to be able to do it. And I just ran into the side of the ditch.
It really looked like you hurt yourself.
It hurt. Yeah, it hurt. But so I played it cool.
I made
cool.
sure you were okay before I
laughed hysterically
with laughter.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, that was that was something else, wasn't
fun
it?
Fun times.
I like the laser tag. The food there is really good. We're on the Trim Healthy Mama diet, where we have really limited carbs.
We can't eat those really good biscuits there.
Well, they'll have eggs and bacon. Like, we'll be okay. But, you know, I think I am going to have a giant corn dog. Those are good.
Chad has been...
I'm a cheater.
Cheating so bad.
I'm a cheater. That's okay.
On vacation.
But I've been doing this diet for a long time.
Well, you know? You were doing Atkins.
I was doing Atkins, and then I've switched over to Trim Healthy Mama, which makes me feel better. When you tell people you're on the Atkins diet, they look at you like you, like they're your old camp girlfriend. That's really? You're doing Atkins? That's bad for your liver, or whatever they say. You can't do that forever. I know you can't do it forever, but when I went on the Atkins diet, I've suffered migraine. I'm a migraineur. That's what you call a migraine sufferer.
Is that really a term?
I'm a migraineur.
Is that really a term?
I think that's the term, yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. Or sometimes I just say, I'm a genius. I mean the same thing. But, it's a mark of incredible giftedness to suffer from migraine headaches. But when I quit eating all the sugar in the bread, the headaches, I mean, they drastically were cut down. And so that's been one of my main motivations for kind of sticking with this type of low-sugar, low-carb diet.
Right.
But every now and then, a guy's got to have a hamburger with the bun, you know.
The bun is, I mean, I have learned that hamburgers are basically just as good without a bun.
No, they're not.
I don't really miss the bun.
I miss the bun.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And what was the other way I cheated? I had custard on vacation. Mm-hmm. And I had another big cheat. What did I do?
You had two cheeseburgers with the bun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe those were my two big cheats, but... You know, I didn't gain.
Oh no!
That much.
Oh, you had on that buffet bread pudding.
No, yeah, I had bread, and I went to the cakes and cream, and got the funnel cake with three giant scoops of vanilla ice cream with the strawberry compost and whipped cream on top.
Wait, you said compost?
Is that what you call it?
No.
Compost? What do you call it?
Oh, no.
Compote. Which sounds not a lot better than compost.
Compost is like where you put all your old rotting food in a pile. Let it rot.
You don't put that on your ice cream? So old banana peels, peanut shells, stuff like that? Is that what you're talking about? With some strawberries in it. Strawberry compost. It's really good. Strawberry compost is when we cut the tops off and throw them down the drain, the trash compactor. I'll have some compost. Can I have one of those funnel cakes with the compost on it? And then a little whipped cream? Can you do that? And maybe like put a little bit of Comet cleaner on top of it or something?
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Well, so we've done a podcast about nothing.
Yeah.
It's official.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about camp and vacation. We've kind of covered those two things. Did you have any other topics you wanted to talk about?
No. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the song before we before we play.
So we're going to do a song for you. So we're trying to think, what would be the thing besides stories about camp girlfriend? Did you ever have a camp boyfriend?
No. Come on, you know better than that.
Really, you never had...
Remember my method of flirting was ignoring anyone that I found attractive?
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of camp girlfriend boyfriend stuff. Like, you could probably have a camp girlfriend or boyfriend without ever even talking to them.
Well, maybe I had one.
Yeah, and you just don't even know
it.
Didn't even know it. Yeah. But they didn't yell at you at college.
No,
so probably
they did
you didn't.
Not.
So,
they did not.
You guys went to camp at Looters, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Looters. I love that camp. The camp is by Abilene, by two small cities north of Abilene. One is called Looters, and one is called Avoca.
Yep.
And so the camp is up there, and Looters or Avoca or whatever they call it. It is the oldest Christian youth camp in the world.
Is that right?
That they've been having youth meetings up there. I don't know when they started. Someone can look that up. I don't even want to venture a guess, but it's been a long time ago that they were doing that. The oldest youth camp in the world. So that's where you went to camp.
It was such a good camp. They had canoeing there, and they would let kids just take off in these canoes down this river, mm-hmm. you know, with water moccasins everywhere.
I know. They'd say, when you get down to the bridge, turn around and come back. Like, did anyone ever not come back?
Not that I know of, but there were always stories, you know, when everybody came back to shower to get ready for worship at night, everybody had stories about snakes, you know, and these close calls with snakes.
There's snakes in the canoes.
Yeah, and my parents, or at least my mother, went to camp there when she was a little girl, back whenever they had just the cabins, like in the old parent trap with the screens.
Yeah, yeah, people talk about those days.
Yeah.
I've never stayed in an encampment that had the screens that came up. I know Jan, the church secretary, told me that she was at Looters when they had those. Or maybe at Chaparral, one of the camps, where she had mentioned those. And I've seen those at some of the old camps, and they're sort of abandoned cabins.
Yeah.
And they just would do all sorts of camps. So kind of Christian camping is like a real Baptist, and I know other denominations do it and have the camps. Methodists do it. But it's like a big thing, and I feel sorry for kids that don't go and try, and it just seems like too far away from folks, and you know, I think that you're really missing out on an experience, you know, of the Christian retreating. And it's kind of really the really redeeming thing about it is getting these kids, and what I like to do is just you get these kids out of the routine, the electronics, you know, their own homes. And it gets them to a point where they really, I think God really, you know, in those wilderness type moments, gets your attention in a special way. And it always did mine. I mean, mm-hmm. we make fun of it with the camp girlfriends and all the goofy things that happen. But there were also some very life-shaping moments that take place at those camps and took place in my life. Would you agree?
Definitely.
And with your friends, and I make fun of the youth group culture. I mean, I think that's one of my callings in life is to make fun of the youth group culture, but I owe a lot to it. We've talked about that before. And so if you've got teenagers and you're letting them decide whether or not they want to go to church, that's probably not the best idea.
No.
They need to go. You need to be there, and they need to be plugged into that youth group.
And what I would say about it is if you don't feel like the program is up to par and therefore you don't want to send your kids up there, then that's where I would encourage you to get involved.
Go make it better.
Go make it better. Improve it. Do the things that you see that need to be done and create an environment for your kids where they can grow in Christ, because that youth group culture, you know, as silly as it seems at times, it is a great...
it's a protection.
Deterrent.
Yeah.
of a lot of things that kids can get into.
Yeah. That they don't know better to not try to get into.
There's no harm in your kid going to church and constantly hearing, hey, live for Christ, try to live a holy life, you know, do what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. I read something about that the other day. A guy was talking about it, the youth group culture and all that, and kind of critiquing it. But he said, you know, we never ever heard anything that wasn't the true gospel there. We never heard you were justified by being self-righteous and all that. I mean, they were telling us the gospel there. Yeah. We heard the truth every time we went to church camp. It was crystal clear. The way your 14-year-old, you know, not completely developed mind hears all those sermons and the emphasis that you pick up on, it might not be the best thing. I think we kind of, in those years, those 90s and late 80s, were very judgmental, pharisaical. Times were different. I think the kids now and the leaders now are so thoughtful. They're so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have been in a youth group now and to have all the resources that they have to get such great teaching from all corners of our culture, Christian culture, and within the church at large. So, man, if you've got a kid, and what we do is kind of our philosophy at my church, our church, where I pastor, is that I like for the parents to be involved in whatever ministry season that their kids are in. And somebody might not agree with that. I could see that that might not be the only way to do it. But I think it's good that you've got a vested interest in that program being great because your own children are in it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we're doing Bible school and the moms are up there decorating and just doing a knockout job on everything, they're doing it because they want their kids to have a great experience.
Right.
And if you're kind of leaving the youth ministry up to people that don't have that kind of vested interest, I mean, the spiritual well-being of your child should really drive you to be involved, and it really is sort of sickening and disgusting whenever churches can't get any youth program going because no one's willing to work. You know, I'm thankful that we've got people that'll step up and say, yeah, I'll do this, I'll volunteer to do this, and we don't have a shortage of volunteers usually in any of those areas. Now, it could always be better, and we could always make the programs more dynamic, but, you know, if you don't care about the well-being of your own teenagers' spiritual life and their soul, then that's a real parenting fail. That's like one of the main things you're supposed to be doing. Now I'm on the soapbox. Should we get back? You think so? Too far on the soapbox? You're like, where are you? Where are you going with this?
And we're just running out of time.
Chad needs a nap. You've been listening to Mitch McConnell. Yeah, we're going to make youth groups great again. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make youth groups great again. But
I would just encourage you, parents, if you're raising kids, just keep going. You know, keep taking them to church. Keep them in there. It may not be perfect. Churches are run by imperfect people.
Yeah.
But
the worst thing you can do is stop caring. I mean, you can be frustrated with it, you can stick in there, and you can tough it out. But the worst thing you can do is to be apathetic. And so don't be apathetic about that. Remember your responsibility and set that example and get those kids involved. And if it means you've got to be the youth minister wherever you are, then that's what you've got to do. And so do it. The song. What were you going to say about our song tonight?
So we are
Let me get my guitar here.
I have a frog in my throat.
Got a frog in your throat. Let me clear my throat for you.
So tonight we're trying something different, and we would like to do a little song for you to close out the podcast tonight. And this is a song that several weeks ago we sang at a funeral. We even talked about it on the podcast that week because the funeral was so special, because the family was just so proud of this lady who was the matriarch of the family, and it was just a really sweet funeral. And we sang this song, which was her favorite song. And, you know, this is an old song, and
I don't know how old it is. I mean, it was written by Kris Kristofferson.
Well, it was recorded in the 70s.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that the words to the song are so applicable right now in the times that we're living in. I mean, the world is a crazy, wild place, and all sorts of weird stuff is going on right now, and it can be frightening, and you try to figure out how to process it all, and what does it mean, and what is God doing, and how do we fit into what he's doing, and how do we handle all this? And the song is just a really simple kind of prayer to God saying, Jesus, just help me to take all of this one day at a time. And I think that that's what you have to do in the Christian life. Every step of faith is just a baby step, just one more step, following Christ, trying to do what his word says and trusting him. So we hope you enjoy this song.
Here we go. One day at a time.
Just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. Tomorrow may never be mine. show me the way, one day at a time.
Okay, so until we talk again, take it one day at a time, y'all.
All right, thank you.
Thanks
we'll
so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.